committee meeting to order. Let the record reflect that Councilman Smiley, Sheldon, Council President Kovac, Councilman Bell, Councilman Street, Councilman Cartier, Councilwoman Diller, my co-chair Retta, my aide Valerie's taking the notes. We did get notice that Councilwoman Kilpatrick is not able to join us today, and Councilman Powers. Also, before we get started, just a little record keeping. We've not been able to get the recorder to work up here. We've had several people trying it. We'll take the best notes that we can take.
It appears to be working right now, but...
Oh, it appears to be working? Okay, maybe it is working now. All right, just be mindful it may not be. Make a motion.
Motion to approve the minutes of previous meeting.
Second.
All right, no additions, corrections, all in favor?
All right.
Minutes approved. First item on the agenda is for Councilwoman Kilpatrick. As we stated, we noticed she cannot be here, but she has her aide filling in her absence.
Sure, this is the provisions at Pike Creek rezoning that council previously approved. The applicant wants to change the footprint. They want to do 76 townhomes by reducing the width. They previously had 64 approved, so that's the only change. We haven't gotten any negative but because it is a change to a rezoning plan, they have to come back before council. And I think that's it. Do you have any specific questions?
I'm not aware. Did council have any specific questions for the applicant on this foot change? Councilman Sheldon?
I would just like to ask the applicant, does any of the stormwater problems change on this? Because it was a very contentious issue beforehand. Is there a need for more update, or is it good the way the original plan said?
Councilman Sheldon, Sean Tucker for the record, we took a very careful look at that. We were aware of the sensitivities that dated back to the prior application. It's my understanding, and I've got Deb Cinneron here, who's our professional engineer.
Please make sure you state your name.
I didn't catch it. I'm sorry.
I've got Deb Cinneron
here, Sean Tucker,
just in case. And I think there may have been some subtle adjustments, but why don't you describe that so I don't pretend to be engineer
today. Dev Sitaram with Cadence and Associates, engineers for the project. Since impervious coverage has not really changed, there's a small differences in where the catch bases are located. So we're doing an analysis of the system to show to the county that nothing has been changed, and the system would work as efficiently as it did with the prior plan. So just a small tweaking of stormwater management.
So it's still going to go to the creek?
It's still going to go to the same location and still manage the same amount of water. Both the pre-development, both the volume as well as the rate of runoff.
Okay.
And Councilman, we also had met with Gata on this. We circled back, and Mr. Blake tried to call me just a few minutes ago. I don't know if he is tied up and can't make it, but Gata did support the revisions that you're seeing here today. And okay. The drainage issue did come up with that group as well. Mm-hmm.
Council President Kovac.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So we're not, the ability to provide stormwater isn't affected, if I understand correctly.
That's correct.
And the, just looking at the physical impact, I'm kind of scratching my head here. A increased demand for county services, how would the change result in some increased demand for county services?
I'll say Mr. Milwaukee's here, but my guess would be there's 12 additional units.
Okay, so there's 12 additional units.
The sewer. Yeah, a little bit extra sewer.
Okay, so
police service, I guess, hypothetically, because of 12 extra units, I'm guessing.
Paramedic. Okay. All right, so in short, the effect is the result.
The effect is the result of the additional units, whatever costs are associated with the 12 additional units that are.
It may result in some additional needs for county services.
But of course, there's the corresponding impact fees that have to be paid as well, and the additional tax base. Hopefully, those work out.
Additional questions from members of council? Seeing none, turning to the public. Yes, ma'am. Please state your name.
Lisa Snyder. I
guess my question is, if this project or plan was contentious to begin with, you're now adding an extra possibly 24 vehicles on that location. Is that going to change the impact of the entrance and exit for any event?
I would have to answer that. And I normally, as you know, Chairman, I tend to get into the background and the history on applications. I know this was relatively minor change, but given the question, if I could give a little bit of background, I think it might help answer that question and explain why we're here. As some folks may recall, this application was originally submitted by Pulte, and their counsel was Bill Rotunda. Pulte decided to back out of this project, and they backed out right after the market took, unfortunately, a bad course. And our client bought it, or they bought this property right before it was about to expire, after the rezoning had taken place. And our client is Traditions at Pike Creek LLC. When we came to council and went through the public hearing process, we explained that we expected to have to come back to council to reduce the unit sizes. And that is because the Pulte concept include much larger units for a market that does not exist anymore, unfortunately. So we came to public hearing, we explained that we did expect to come back, but we couldn't pause in the process because of the original application would have expired. We went forward, obtained approvals, and came back shortly thereafter. To drill down into the specific question about additional impact, we have met with DLDOT. We did do some additional traffic analysis. DLDOT was satisfied that the increase of only 12 units did not warrant any significant change in terms of traffic impact or additional design. We did receive, or hope to soon receive, I guess I should say, no objection letter from DLDOT, but all conversations with DLDOT to date have indicated that the 12-unit addition would be relatively de minimis, and if there's any additional impact, it would be minor, and that we would have to address those issues if there were any. So one of the other issues regarding traffic, if I could add, there was concern about this project taking access on Paper Mill, which, again, I wasn't there for these hearings, so we're done to handle those. It was my understanding that was one of the bigger concerns. I will note that on the plan that our client had originally approved and on the plan before you today, we were able to redesign and relocate the point of access on the limestone, which was, as we were told, because again, we weren't there, was the preferred access point. Mr. Rotunda was not able to obtain that when he handled the matter because there was a feud, if you will, between the families, the one that owned the property we purchased or our client purchased, and the neighbor. Now that our client owns it, family feud is non-existent, and we were able to negotiate an access out directly on the limestone, which, again, I understand was the preferred access and a safer access.
Okay. Did you have something? Additional questions from members of the public? Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is for Councilman Retta.
Thank you. This is ordinance 11-016. It is, everyone's familiar with Telegraph Road and Main Street, and near down by Delaware Park. It's a place right now, it's called Rock Bottom. They're going to be putting a CVS in down there. And I believe there's three homes in the back. Two of the homes are rented, and they signed a letter of note that they would sell out if it goes through, and there's going to be a CVS put in down there. And if everyone's familiar with Happy Harry's across the street, this is be on the other side of the street. Happy Harry's is on the old Stanton Road area, and this is on the Delaware Park side, and everything around it is just about commercial. There's probably I believe it's 700 acres, and on facing the project will be on the left hand side that is commercial, and then out of this we'll probably get about 80 jobs, which would help the area and help the economy. I believe the people here representing CVS are here, Lisa Goodman and Tony Bariglio.
Thank you, Councilman. Mr.
Chair, I'll be very brief. Lisa Goodman, actually here on behalf of the Briglio Corporation, who is the developer. And Councilman Retta did a very nice job of lead in. I'll just be very, very quick.
Ms. Goodman, a quick little record keeping. Let the record reflect that Councilman Hollins has joined us. Thank you.
Great, sure. I have here an aerial photo, and it just shows in the center. This is a compilation of five parcels. The two on the corner, which make up Rock Bottom, are already zoned commercial neighborhood. There are three very narrow, about 50-foot wide residential parcels, each with a house on them, and they are the subject of the rezoning. The total acreage of those three little parcels is 0.68, and we are seeking to have them zoned CN to match these parcels. The parcels to the rear of this property, if you're standing on Telegraph Road, are also zoned CN, Leisure Lawn and Clay Dentistry. As Councilman Retta indicated, across the Telegraph Road here is Delaware Park. It's about 700 acres zoned CR. And then across Route 4, Route 7 / Main Street, we have Mulch Depot, Walgreens, and then, of course, in the center, we have all of these commercial uses as well. We have a school, an adult learning center school next door, Stanton Middle School over here, and a large church here. So there's really no residential anywhere around except for these three houses. These little properties here are all owned by Delaware Park. This is a little cluster that is zoned NC 6.5, just like these little parcels, but it's now all functionally part of Delaware Park. They've purchased all of that. So just to show you, this is a close-up, and you have these same handouts in front of you. Here are the two parcels that are already zoned commercial. As you can see, they are 100% impervious. They're 100% stone or covered, either with building, with product, or with crushed stone. As a matter of fact, they've actually borrowed some of Delta's land. They've actually stoned out beyond their border, which is fairly typical for these old properties. Here are the three that we're seeking to rezone. We're here with the recommendation from the Land Use Department and a unanimous 9-0 vote in favor from the Planning Board, always a nice thing to have. This is a redevelopment plan, and what we will end up with, the council approves this plan, is this. This is a 13,540 square foot pharmacy proposed to be a CVS. And you can see that where the prior plan has no stormwater management, this has full stormwater management. Where the prior plan has no landscaping, this has virtually full landscaping. We were not able to provide the full code compliant landscaping along here, but since it's a redevelopment plan, that's okay, and we're much, much better. We grouped the majority of the open space and the landscaping along here to buffer the adult education school, and the department was very pleased with that design. We'll also have fully compliant parking, actually a little bit extra parking than the code requires, but clients believe that that's necessary for their building. We are removing the seven buildings on the site. And I only say that because to the extent that there's a debate going on, which we all know about what redevelopment should be, I think everyone should be comfortable that this meets anybody's definition of redevelopment. And that's a good thing. Believe me, that's all I want to say about that. So let me just talk briefly about how we meet the standards. I probably shouldn't even have done that one. It will, of course, as every rezoning does, require an amendment to the comp plan. These two sites are already CN. They're already classified as community redevelopment. So these three small parcels would be classified as community redevelopment as well. And the department believed that was very consistent. Very consistent with the character of the neighborhood. As the department noted, these three little parcels here are a holdover back from the day when this was a residential area, and now it simply isn't a residential area anymore and no longer attractive for residential use. Consistency with the zoning and use of the nearby properties, I think I've talked about that. Half of it, more than half of it's already commercial, and it's surrounded by commercial. Property is very suitable. It's an existing commercial corner. Redevelopment is going to make it much closer to the conforming code. And finally, the effect on nearby properties is going to be positive because we have stormwater management here, which we don't have right now. The curb cuts will be farther from this intersection. One will be here, and one would be here. We have moved them absolutely as far as they can be. In addition, we've agreed to enter into a cross, to provide a cross-access point here, so that if this site ever develops, DelDOT will have the right to make us close this entrance and share an entrance here. Again, moving it even farther from the intersection. So we think that this fully meets the requirements. I'm pleased to say we've had no opposition at any level, again, which I think speaks to the fact that there simply aren't any residents anywhere nearby, and that this fits in with the site. The only comments I've heard are questions about, you know, is Rock Bottom going to relocate? Because many of us, I think, patronize. And I don't know the answer to that, because they're not my client. Happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Entertaining questions from members of council. Councilman Cartier?
This is extremely similar to a project that went on with the Wall Mains on Main Road in my district, where we had to rezone some adjacent residential land to get the parcels that we needed, size we needed for the project, the Wall Mains project. Now, where on this site are you going to locate the stormwater management?
The stormwater management is going to be underground. Storm tech chambers underground. That's really the, to use a bad pun, the wave of the future. Because it doesn't gobble up land, it's invisible, so we don't have, you know, things that we don't want to look at. So,
and that type of system will, of course, require, as any stormwater management system, some kind of maintenance schedule.
Absolutely.
For its, so things will function properly.
Correct. And the water will be treated for quality and quantity. It still meets all of the state requirements.
And how is that maintenance schedule entered into the law, or how do we ultimately have some kind of authority over that?
Right. In the agreement that every developer enters into prior to recordation with the county, that's all covered.
Additional question from members of council? Seeing none, going to the public. Anyone from the public have a comment?
Will Craney from the MLCA. In the course of changing character, having this where there were residents coming in and out of the team, now there's going to be a lot more traffic coming in and out. How did you approach the community and the school relative to that stack up sets of Telegraph Road and Two Lake Road? There can be people trying to make a turn into the CVS and out of the CVS. Have you informed the community, or how did you engage them?
Well, thank you. We've had several public hearings. We have not had any community meetings on this project. In meeting with the various folks at Land Use and at Council, there didn't seem to be anyone who was immediately affected. What we have had is a planning board hearing. We did go to the Board of Adjustment because we had to get some very minor variances related to opacity along here and paving setback in order to accommodate this because of the little bit of an odd shape of the parcel and to reduce one stacking unit. It's really DelDOT, of course, that governs traffic, and DelDOT is very comfortable with where our entrance is. DelDOT has a intersection improvement plan in place for Telegraph Road and St. Christiana Road because this area is in a highway safety improvement program. And we, what DelDOT has required is that we contribute to that cost. And as part of that, separate from our contribution of dollars, we are also providing right-of-way to allow for a turn lane in, and we are giving that, we're dedicating that to DelDOT. So I think that DelDOT is very comfortable as to their new design for the intersection, the improvements that they're making, and what we're doing toward that.
Additional comments from the public?
Bill Dunn, you guys, County Civic Loop, and MLCA member as well. Living in the area, I was kind of interested in what was going on there. Take a brief look at things. I would encourage the developer to reach out to St. Mark's Methodist, saying that they run a daycare center in close proximity to it, as well as the school district actually utilizes that for PLC, which is more children that have been removed from the Main Street program. So they are there during the day. It's not just an adult program. In general, this is one time that I, as an individual, have no problem whatsoever with this rezoning. It seems consistent with what's going on in the area. I know my son's employer across the street's not going to be very happy about it, which is not Happy Harry's anymore, Councilman. It's now Walgreens, and they're not even allowed to use the term. But it looks like a good plan, and I don't have any serious opposition to it as a community.
Additional comments?
Lisa Snyder. I grew up in this area, in Del Park Manor, which is about less than a mile down the road, and I have been by here several times. My one question is, are there yellow signs up here?
Oh, yes.
On both roads?
Yeah.
Okay. My next comment is that this area, all of Telegraph Road, was originally all residential, and it has been gobbled up by commercial properties, including Delaware Park, where Rock Bottom is, used to be a gas station, but the houses along there and along both sides of the road have always been residential. It's been a residential road going back to the 50s. Like I said, I grew up in Del Park Manor, and slowly but steadily, Delaware Park came in. They bought up all the properties on the opposite side of this project. And now I'm hearing that they're going to gobble up three more properties on the opposite side of this project. So I have a concern as a citizen and as a member of the community that we're using redevelopment to push out the residential areas in our communities for a project that is in direct competition with the guy across the street. To me, that doesn't make good business sense. Why would you locate a pharmacy across the street from a pharmacy? And unfortunately, I did not get to the planning board meeting on this because I had surgery, and I was unable to be there. But I do have a problem with it, both from a traffic standpoint, the stack up coming off of Limestone Road. If you hit there between 3 and 5 in the afternoon, the stack up coming off of Limestone Road and even coming down from Main Street into the Delaware Park area is atrocious. You can sit through that traffic for at least, I want to say, to get through two traffic lights, you could be there anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes. It's horrendous. And for them to be putting an entrance off of Stanton Christiana Road, where they're planning on putting it, then you have the traffic coming off of and out of St. Mark's. And then if you have people turning it, that's an accident waiting to happen. And people coming out on the other side on Telegraph Road, whether they go left or right, again, it's an accident waiting to happen. If they go left, they're going to have to stop at the traffic light. And then even with Rock Bottom there, it's happened, where people block the crosswalk or the crossway so that you can't get through one way or another because they're waiting for the light to change. So I understand that DelDOT is planning on improvements, but how long before those improvements are done to make this road safe? Thank you.
Additional comments from the public? Seeing?
I guess I heard a question in there. Is there a way to process that question?
You need to state your name for the record, please.
Bill Frain, President of MLCA. Has DelDOT indicated when contribution for the concurrence here in the community state and this in plan?
Tim Anderson with Carriage and Safety Engineers for the project. We know that they have a highway safety improvement program that is has identified some improvements that are making the intersection. And we don't know what the time frame is.
I guess the comment is we ought to have recorded that in some way in the plan. It's not an objection, it's just that's part of the plan. You're contributing towards it, but there's other people who are contributing to the factors that led to DelDOT having a program, let's say, occurring here. So it should somehow be recorded there and track the fact that here's a time frame. Because otherwise, the additional developments then cause the problem that doesn't get fixed for a long time, and that's a DelDOT problem that you want to keep working on. So
And if I might just address it very briefly, of course, there already are two entrances on Stanton Christiana Road right now, and one on Telegraph Road. We're actually going to have two entrances instead of three. And they're going to be safer because we're pulling them back farther from the intersection. And eventually, because of the cross-access easement that we're granting, the one on St. Christiana will be pulled back even farther. And as I just briefly mentioned at the beginning, you know, these three residential parcels are, they're orphans. They're, two of them are already rentals, and they are smooshed in between a sea of non-residential uses. They are what no longer matches. And regardless of how we got here, given that especially that this is so close to this major commercial corner, it makes good land use sense to incorporate them into the commercial that's already there.
Okay, additional questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda, ordinance 11020. Under the sponsorship of Councilman Redd and myself, this one was tabled last time to allow us a little bit more time to get the substitute prepared and get a few bullet points also together as to the changes that will happen. Councilman Redd, did you want to make any comments?
Thank you. What we have, I believe all council has a substitute, and in the underlinings are the changes. To be on application, which will be on the second page under B. If everyone has it. It says the standards of this section are limited to redevelopment to non-residential uses and sites, and then if you go down further into the paragraph, you'll see it says, in the event of the plan, purposes of development that does not otherwise comply with chapter, resulting in an application for the variances and provisions of section 40.081.130B, section 6, or B6, shall not be applicable, and the owner and developer shall instead apply for a variance as necessary to the development of the property. If everyone has that, make sure that is in their changes. And if you go on the next page, and it'll be under C, design element improvements, it'll be the last sentence. These specific improvements may result and a total aggregate percent improvement greater than the minimum requirement. And then also down in paragraph 7 about the level of service, which is A, B, C, or D, and it says if the existing LOS is E, proposed development may not cause the loss of LOS to become F. Happy with that? Don't understand it.
And then also, just briefly, also passed around a little bullet point that actually highlights and pulls out the changes. We passed those around. If enough of the ordinances didn't make it around, Ms. Roberts is making some changes, and hopefully everyone has the bullet points. But I'll review them real fast for you, the changes that actually Councilman Redd just...
Chrissy's making copies.
I just give you this. What 11020 substitute 1 is going to do, and this is an ordinance that actually we've been working on probably for more than a year. Councilman Nareda and myself, Councilwoman Diller and Councilman Cartier had meetings with us too and shared concerns that we've incorporated this, we've shared with them, and they're happy where we're at today. Councilman Sheldon has brought some concerns too also. We've built those in. So just briefly, It's a removal of the credit for approved unbuilt square footage, i.e. paper redevelopment. It's restricting the redevelopment to non-residential uses. So redevelopment cannot be used, and also redevelopment cannot be used on agricultural lands. The owner-developer must choose one of the two processes, redevelopment or secure all necessary variances, but they cannot do both. So if they're going to choose redevelopment, they're not going to be able to seek the variance path. Clarified that specific improvements may exceed the minimum aggregate of 400% improvements. Reduced the percent improvement given to entertain site improvements, but more than 50% for the bicycle parking, the handicap, the spaces, the curbing, street trees, and enhanced agricultural enhancements. Redevelopment plans proceed the same as regular plans, become major plans if they are going to exceed more than 50,000 square feet. Right now, and basically that's the same thing that we have with regular plans. If they're going to exceed 50,000 square feet, they become a major. Redevelopment plan subject to a TIS or a TIA requirements are the same as a regular plan. Either can be required as additional square foot aggregate traffic that would warrant a TIS or a TIA. Classified the redevelopment plans subject to the LOS as a regular plan if A or D cannot be made E or F, and if E, it cannot be made an F. And it cannot make a non-conforming situation more non-conforming. And it also does give DLDOT the ability to recommend less GFA, which our Department of Land Use would have to incorporate into the plan. This has really morphed from the time that 11020 was introduced to where we're at today. Myself and Councilman Retta has worked extensively on this to incorporate comments all along the way. What we've heard, you know, was it Visited Plus when it went to the planning board, and what we've heard out of the public, and what we really feel like what we have here today is a very achievable ordinance that does not kill redevelopment. It also keeps it an option and an attractive option on the table, but it adequately protects the community's concerns and redevelopment as we should be looking at it. Redevelopment has been a major issue for me. It was a campaign platform. I really want to see these shopping centers that are run down and don't have tenants in them get tenants in them before we go over and rip up farm fields or vacant fields. And we really kind of hope that we've kind of arrived back at that middle ground, that pendulum has been brought back from being so far one way that now we have something the public can understand, we can all wrap our arms around, and it's something that hopefully will engulf redevelopment and pave the path for our future. Councilman Red, do you have anything else?
No, I think you said it all, Dave. The redevelopment, I've been pushing for a long time. I've worked with a couple different businesses. One I'm pretty proud of is the BJ's on the Kirkwood Highway. It does a good business. People in the area, in the civic meetings, they were worried about traffic impact there and the stacking of the cars. Actually, there's less stacking of the cars coming west from Newark into Wilmington area, making a left. There's 20 or 21 stacking, but there has yet to be that many cars stacking in there, but there's a steady stream of people going in. And actually, the biggest steady stream is from the people of the Wilmington area, come from the city of Wilmington going out there. So there is still a lot of people. They signed up a lot of people. They signed up about 2,000 people for their membership. And with that, there's going to be Walgreens being moved out of that shopping center and put where Wendy's is, and Wendy's is going to move over to the other side of the parking lot. So with that one project, we've got three other things that are going to happen there, and it's going to create some more jobs because Happy Harry Walgreens, can't get out of the bill, are going to be making a bigger store and having more people working there. So that's a redevelopment, and it's a good redevelopment. And with that, they improved the whole area because they owned in back of the original shopping center as you go in on the right-hand side, and they made improvements there. They put a parking lot striped in there, trees, some shrubbery, and they did some work in the stream up there. So, you know, we got to encourage that. And with that, I think what Dave said and what the piece says, I'm happy with it.
I think it's also very imperative, important to note at this juncture that every redevelopment plan that we have seen done and built in this county has been a success story. Nobody's come to us and said, that's a disaster, that should have never happened, that's totally ruined the community or the character. The redevelopment plans that we have seen so far built, everybody has been happy with. There's been a lot of suspicions, a lot of misconceptions flying around, a lot of stuff said that actually isn't true that was going on, that was pointing to things coming that could have been or in the future, that's got a lot of things stirred. But in actuality, as we sit here today, there has been no redevelopment projects built in this county that anybody has said has been a disaster or ruined anything. They've all been success stories.
I'd just like to add that one of the major redevelopments we had was the Christiana Mall. With that development that they've done down there, it's always crowded. It's always Christmas down there. You go in that parking lot, it's always Christmas all year long now. So people are happy.
Questions from members of council? Councilman Cartier.
I don't have a question so much. I'd just like to make some observations on the record. And first of all, I'd like to thank the leadership of Councilman Retta Tackett in recognizing that, some modifications need to be made to the ordinance that they had, and they went forward and made those modifications. I had email dialogue with Councilman Tackett about my concerns. And just in the general picture, the built environment in Newcastle County is an old suburban built environment. And to bring, as you said, life back to our depleted, dilapidated commercial corridors on the old commercial sites, many of which have, as we've seen, with this plan that we looked at, a lot of them are denuded of landscaping, have no stormwater management, bad traffic flow. In order to bring and incentivize those sites to come forward with new projects that are much better engineered, have stormwater management, have nice landscaping packages, it's necessary, we feel, to offer incentives. And I think that this redevelopment process that we've been in for some time now has in fact produced really great projects. And I can tell you personally, I live behind one of them in Holyoke section of Philadelphia Pike. It was the old Holyoke Towing Center, which was redeveloped under provisions of the redevelopment ordinance that I had last sponsored, that I think is we called the fourth iteration. This will probably be the fifth, but you're under your sponsorship. And truly, the whole area benefited from the supplanting of the old Holyoke Towing Center with all of the problems, no landscaping, impervious cover, bad appearance. Now we have a strip center anchored by a Walgreens with all of the great things, stormwater management, landscaping, better traffic flow, new building. And so I'm very much interested in having the success of this program. One of the limitations, or not limitations, but kind of loopholes, I'm glad we're closing off today, when our discussions, hopefully you bring this to a vote next Tuesday, is in fact this idea of paper redevelopment. Because I can tell you, when I sponsored the fourth version, I never had in my mind that we would be incentivizing the building of, or giving bonuses to, let me use the phraseology, recorded but unbuilt GFA, which is paper redevelopment. So I'm glad that this ordinance is going to close that off. We need to, in fact, incentivize already existing buildings that are very dilapidated or have lived out their service life to be, torn down and redeveloped with all the new improvements that we have designed in our code. So I'm really glad, you two have really taken this bull by the horns, as they say, and you know, bring this forward with all the issues related to traffic and so forth that we've heard from constituents. It's just we want to see in the future more great projects recorded on redeveloped sites. And I think your ordinance is going to give us the means to see future success continuing with that program.
And two, going to President Kovac next, but I'll just quickly interject an opportunity here to also thank council to council, who has worked extremely diligently and hard on this, seeing to it that ordinance did meet our intentions and that also met, you know, the law. So I do want to thank our council to council for her diligent work on this, after hours and weekends, I might add. Council President Kovac.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I echo some sentiments of Councilman Cartier, and really applauding the sponsors for taking what is obviously a complex subject with a very important outcome, is redevelopment in our county. I'd like to thank the sponsors, the sponsor, you know, of the past, Councilman Sheldon, sponsor of a prior legislation, for recognizing the need to A, have redevelopment, but B, kind of change the initial setup that was well intended but had some adverse consequences. I've been watching the process very carefully and looking at the Department of the Land Use and the Planning Board's recommendations and their comments. And I think it's a credit to both of you that you took, from what I can see, you know, what I've been able to review, many of those comments of the Planning Board, and worked with the Department of Land Use and Council to Council and make those changes. So, you know, redevelopment is something that we really do need in this county to make sure that if there is something sitting there that where there's adequate infrastructure, and we need to speed up that process to demonstrate that there is adequate infrastructure, that we encourage the redevelopment of that abandoned or otherwise unused land. I mean, we've done that in the state level. We've redeveloped brownfields. I've, you know, been a part of that for a while, and proud to have been a part of that. So I applaud your efforts in this regard. I guess what I'd love to see next is, I guess, after the substitute has now come before us, it's going to be introduced. I'd love to see the recommendations of the Planning Board and the Land Use Department of these changes. And I think that, you know, going forward, doing so in a public manner like that, we can really build the confidence that the public has in this redevelopment process. So I'm really anxious to see these bullet points. Sound great. I'd love to get the feedback from the Planning Board and the Land Use Department on these changes, and then be able to vote on those changes. Again, because I think you guys have worked really hard. It's been a long process. It started way before I got here. I'm looking forward to reviewing that report and voting on the matter. So thank you.
Councilman Retta?
I'll yield to somebody else for now.
Councilman Smiley?
Come back.
Yeah. I applaud all your work, too, ironically, listening to the President. I look forward to seeing the notes of the results of the Planning Board meeting this morning. And I'd urge Council maybe even to request a copy of the recording, because ironically, and I wasn't the only one there, the Planning Board seems to be now of the mind that paper redevelopment isn't a bad thing, so long as there are parameters in place that will restrict certain things. So I look forward to the future.
Councilman Sheldon?
Council Chair. I just wanted to congratulate both of you for making sure to paper redevelopment, which has been over about a year, I started on that, and also the redevelopment not to be used in agricultural green land. I mean, I think all of us here, once it got noticed, and just happened to get noticed in my area first on the agricultural part, and of course from other places on the paper. So I appreciate both of you to look at this. and putting some of the restrictions you're talking about, the LOS and some of that, because I've been hearing that from some civic groups. I will say I did not hear anything from the business community. I'm kind of a little upset about that. I've reached out to the DCA, ABC, other people, because you always, it's good to get both sides of the coin. And even the chamber, I'm still waiting for their phone calls. So anyway, and it was legitimate, for, you know, asking for, you know, what your sights on this. So I just want to put that out, but I wanted to thank you both for incorporating those two things on my small ordinance that I wanted done.
All right. Additional questions from members of council?
I just like to say thank you to Land Use and the administration and Carol Dolan, along with Dave, that worked on this over the past year or so. So they did a lot. They did a lot of work on it. We weren't the only ones.
Absolutely, Councilman Cartier.
Yeah, going back to the issue of the recorded unbuilt GFA. You know, perhaps we should entertain some process to allow those plans to change and become more modern code plans. But right now, what I'm interested in is tilting the table and the incentives toward the built environment that exists in redeveloping the built environment that doesn't meet our standards, is otherwise an eyesore, dilapidated, depleted, you know, and I think that's what we need to focus on. I don't really have a sense in my mind on an actual size of the problem of, you know, prior recorded plans that are sitting out there. It could be a very small problem. It could be a large problem. I have no idea. But I think we need to look at a different process and not, you know, put that on the same level with redevelopment where you're actually tearing down old buildings. So that's sort of how I feel about that at this point. First, we have to increase, smooth out the process, bring more redevelopment projects. We're actually taking down, you know, the buildings that are really, you know, detriment to our communities and replacing them with more modern, more attractive centers. And then maybe looking at that other issue in another way.
Councilman Cartier, just a couple fast comments, and to piggyback on that a little bit too, I also have that same concern. I've shared that with Land Use, you know, approved GFA unbuilt is a an issue, you know, because they're non-conforming old code plans that are sitting out there, and if they're built today, public in general probably is not going to be happy with them because they're not going to have the landscaping, they're going to be right on top of the road, they're not going to have the setbacks, they're not going to be built and be look like what they've become accustomed to being seen built under the UDC. I've shared with Dave, you know, initially I didn't have a problem with it in the redevelopment ordinance, you know, because of what it was going to do. You know, it didn't have the protections for the infrastructure, the stormwater and all that in it, but it was an issue that the public was having a very tough time getting their arms around because they, you know, they need to visualize what they're seeing, and they couldn't see, you know, unbuilt GFA sitting out there. So as an elected body, we need to be receptive to the public and what we're hearing from them and the feedback that they're providing to us. And that was something that they were having, you know, a lot of angst about. So it was something that we needed to deal with. So just as you stated there, and I reiterate, I share that concern. That's what this is doing. That's getting that, you know, out of here for now. And very likely it's something that we're going to be needing to look at, you know, as a next step as to where else in the code we should probably look to locate that. But if we're going to get those plans built that we're accustomed to seeing, we're not going to be able to allow them to be built under the old code. Councilwoman Diller.
Yeah, I think there's a reason they call it the legislative process, and that realistically, this moves, you know, what we want to see in terms of redevelopment forward. I think that, you know, part of it, and Councilman Cartier and I have had long conversations about the issue of commercial redevelopment as a focus for this. I think that, you know, you folks have done a great job of incorporating concerns, and I'd like to thank Carol for her work on this. And it's a good place and a good way to start to move forward.
Yep, great, thank you. Okay, you just spoke. I'll go back to you then. Council President Kovac.
I'll defer if somebody hasn't had a chance.
Are you intended on speaking?
Yes.
Okay, then go ahead.
Thanks. We're discussing, you know, these issues. Do we have a time frame for the review of the substitute by the planning board and land use getting us out that recommendation? Because this has already been a long process. I wouldn't want it to be delayed significantly. You know, are they able to do that quickly? You know, do we have to officially introduce the substitute before it can? You know, there's been some talk of whether it has to be introduced before it's referred to the planning board. I know that there's some discussion of it today, but not specifically on point. According to some research, there was, and the code said it's after it's introduced, then within 3 days it has to be referred to the planning board for that decision. That's something we can, you know, we'll jumpstart soon or at the next council meeting we'll introduce this. What's the time frame?
Council President, I'll have, our council to council speak very quickly, but it's something that has already been addressed, and actually Councilman Retta and his office already sent the substitute back to the planning board and land use. So I guess about council to council speak briefly on why it won't be going back for the public hearing. It's already been there and...
Right. Carol Doolin, council to council. The code requires that upon the initial introduction of a proposal that it be sent to a certain number of agencies for recommendation. One of them obviously is the planning board in conjunction with the land use department. That did occur. They, as they customarily do, make some recommendations which were in fact incorporated into this. There is no requirement for a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, or ad infinitum number of referrals. This is a form of amendment. An amendment can be made by a legislative body up to and including the time of voting on the floor. Regardless of that, and out of respect for both the department and the board, the sponsors did send it to them and invited them to the meeting today and to provide written comments and also to the meeting on next Tuesday.
To clarify, thank you, Council. To clarify, there isn't a requirement in code, but there is a requirement in our rules that when a ordinance that's required to go to the planning board or some other board have substantive amendments, which these obviously are, and there's no dispute that there are substantive amendments, that we then put that back before that planning board for that recommendation. So we need to still do that in accordance with our rules, or we can always move to suspend our rules, but I'm not sure suspending our rules is really gonna engender a lot of public confidence in this issue. But our rules clearly state unambiguously that we have to, when the ordinance is substantively changed, put it back before that reviewing body for their recommendation. Again, we can always choose to not do that or amend the rules or make a motion on the floor, but you know, in accordance with our rules as they exist today, we do need to send that back officially for Rule 2.4.1.1, so we need to send that referred, substitutes that shall substantively revise legislation subject to recommendation shall be referred back to the applicable board or commission for a revised recommendation. And I personally would love to see that revised recommendation to make sure that all the concerns have been addressed and get that and then vote on it and get it in code.
Carol Doolin, council to council, and I would certainly invite former council under whose auspices these rules were written and the county attorney, that the intent of those rules up until 2007 and the rules until 2007 did not contain anything about referring something back. There's 45 days permitted to these boards to review and make commentary. That would delay from a practical perspective, the enactment of legislation indefinitely, and it could go on for years. The practice, even through my understanding, subsequent to my leaving here, is that they were not referred back again. But again, they do have it, and I would invite law to chime in.
Wendy Daniels, Banner County Solicitor. I was the attorney that worked on the revision of the rules. Basically, the substantive is when an amendment would change legislation so drastically that it didn't even resemble what was prior before the board initially. And that was a concern that we put in there to address. But the way that as time went on, it pretty much just got a new title and was reintroduced if it changed so diabolically. But we're not talking about substantive changes. I mean, everything that is in this has been touched upon by the planning board in their recommendations, and this essentially took their recommendations and made it a substitute. So it would be nonsensical to go back in front of the board for another recommendation on a ordinance that incorporated their recommendations. So I think the substantive was that it was so different that none of the recommendations that had previously been made were on the same subject matter as what the substitute proposed. And as Council of Council said, it has never, nothing has ever been referred back to that point that has reached that threshold.
And just to be clear, Ms. Danner, where we're at now as far as like the substitutes and I guess, you know, and I'd heard this, you know, prior to, and there was a big email went out on that, you know, conveniently that the rule has been pointed to, but that's never happened. I mean, basically it goes to the boards, the suggestions have been made, they're incorporated into the legislation, it generates the substitutes, and we're hearing substitutes ever since prior to 2007 and up until actually our last council meeting that actually, some of the changes in the contracts were even referred to as substitutes that we went ahead and voted on right at the council meeting. So that's something that, you know, is the legislative body process.
Correct. And to my knowledge, it never has never been referred back after a substitute. I think that was just put in there as a concern that a substitute may be so different that it didn't have anything to do with what was in front of the recommending board. So that's what that was in. But it's, to my knowledge and Carol's knowledge, it's never been utilized.
Right, right. Let me follow up, if I may, Mr. Chair, with Council of Council and Ms. Danner. Let me just, I guess, be clear. Under Rule 2.4.1.1, it doesn't say diabolically change. It doesn't say dramatically change. What it says is substantively change. We have a rule that's in place. We recognize that rule. And we can choose to follow that rule, or we can choose to suspend those rules and move forward. So because it may apparently put us in an endless process, which isn't the case because we don't have to substantively amend the ordinance, that's by choice, and I'm certainly glad that you all did. And, you know, to quote, you know, Councilman Street, I don't have a dog in this fight, but what I would like to see is the process is followed as we've set forth. And because it's such a contentious process, to give somebody from the outside an opportunity to criticize this body because we choose not to follow a rule, I wouldn't suggest that as our course of action. Certainly there's other 12 other votes, but the rule says what it says, whether we've never followed it before or changing the interpretation of the rule, which is clear as written. There is a rule here. We either follow it or we move to suspend those rules. And we will be following those rules or moving to suspend those rules next week.
So, Council President, could you read the rule again for me, please?
Absolutely. It's 2.4.1.1. Substitutes that substantively revise legislation subject to a recommendation shall be referred back to the applicable board or commission for a revised recommendation with a summary of revisions.
Right. And early on you heard Council to Council make the statement and Councilman Redda that it was referred back and they were offered the opportunity to make the recommendations and they were invited to come to the meeting today for the council meeting. Do you think that adheres to the spirit of the law you just read?
To the spirit of the law? You're sending it back for revised recommendations. Are you suggesting that we vote on something that we say by rule we have to get a recommendation and vote on it before we receive those recommendations? Do you think that fits with the spirit of the rule?
Are you saying the rule was violated when it was already referred back and they were offered the opportunity?
What I'm saying is that the rule has to be followed, and it shall be referred back to the applicable board, which you can actually only do after introduction, technically, under county code. Ms. Danner was able to cite those within 3 days after introduction. I don't believe this substitute has actually ever been introduced in our county council meeting. So it could not have technically been, although it might have been by friend or by some sort of process given to them, it was not technically referred to them under county code and our rules. So no, we haven't been able to do that yet. And it's sent back for a revised recommendation. It's just not sent back to them, and then we can vote on it without that revised recommendation.
Okay. Council to council.
Carol Doolin, and certainly I'm not trying to argue the point, but I will try to make myself a little bit clearer. There is a state law, Title IX, that sets forth a process for the introduction of ordinances and the consideration by boards and commissions. That law states that upon introduction, one does send it to the planning board. That's the initial proposal. It also says that if the ordinance is amended as to anything of substance that is not embraced in the title. In other words, if you've added something that isn't in the title, you have to start all over again. You have to reintroduce it. Those are the only circumstances under which the State General Assembly, which sets forth the law governing Newcastle County legislative procedure, requires that it be reintroduced. So this is a proposal that already has been introduced, and if the sponsors determined to do so, they could have the substitute introduced on the floor piece by piece through an amendment, which is a practice in every legislative body, up to and including the time of vote, regardless of anything of the rules. I'd also like to point out that the rules of procedure are set by council to govern their own behavior. They are not state laws. They do not make a law legal or illegal. And if a rule of procedure is not observed at the time, for example, on the floor, if there's failure to have a second, that does not invalidate the rule, the vote. It does not make it illegal. It does not affect any legal rights. So I just wanted to make that clear. That does not preclude anyone from sending something back, and that has been done in the past by people voluntarily, but it's not a requirement of the law.
Okay, additional questions? Councilman Cartier?
Not to stray away from this topic, but I just want to make the point that going forward, I'd like to recommend that we photo document and put on our website projects that emerge under your ordinance, because the pictures say 1,000 words, and not to have, you know, some images captured where the public can access and point to, here's what the redevelopment ordinance did, this is the incentives we laid out, here was the before, here's the after, so the public can get a sense of the fact of what you brought up in the beginning of the meeting, that we've had 73 projects done under redevelopment code in Newcastle County. And by and large, I would say all of them, to reflect your point of view, have been successful. But, you know, it's one thing to sit here around a table and talk about it. It's one thing to have images where people can actually look at something and understand, you know, pretty clearly what we're trying to do. So I'd just like to recommend in the future our website, council's website, I don't know if the administration cares about this, that we, you know, capture these projects as they're going through the process so the public can see the before and the after and the gain that we, you know, incentives and the real gains that we're bringing to communities.
Additional questions, members of council? Seeing none, turn to the public.
You want to go first?
I don't know where I fit in, sir.
Comments.
Feel free to stop me anytime. Lou Hinkle, representing Councilor Weiner's comments herein. And as stated, unfortunately, it seems that most of the comments that were drafted didn't take into account the recommendations that were made by the planning board and discussed today, that you passed out today. So if for some reason they may have already been addressed, please forgive me for the redundancy, if I may proceed.
Absolutely. Just be consistent with 11020 and substitute one.
And as previously stated, that knowing the options for the fact that there's another ordinance out there would or may directly impact how someone may vote on your proposed ordinance.
Well, we're not discussing that other ordinance, so please be
feel free to stop
very
at any
clear.
Time, sir. As most of you know, two competing ordinances to change redevelopment in Newcastle
Stop.
County.
Stop. Yeah.
You're done. We're already aware of that, and we've
right.
seen it.
Okay. For reasons pointed out by Plus and the Planning Board, however, we should not move to vote on this measure without following the Planning Board's recommendations, which apparently is happening. Starting with a serious policy discussion of what we collectively want to see in a final measure. A few good things happen fast, and there's no reason to rush this or any measure through until it reforms development the way we really want it. My goal was always to make sure that the measure that eventually passes has certain key provisions, and there is still work to be done in that regard. If the right substance is there, I can assure you I do not care whose name is the sponsor. Therefore, I have to ask my fellow council members to focus on some key policy areas so our preferences can be made clear and an ordinance that actually implements our wishes or is adopted, whether the land use department decides to participate or not. I introduced my own proposal. I'll skip that part.
Stop!
Applicability. The reform amendment allows no paper redevelopment, no redevelopment of greenfields or reforms or farms, and redevelopment only where it is needed and infrastructure can handle it. I believe that may have been addressed in the changes.
Right.
There was a concern that was brought before, I believe, the Planning Board that made a recommendation today on Councilman Weiner's ordinance of paper redevelopment.
Stop.
If you allow me to finish, Joe. Because I'm commenting on your ordinance as well, where a field that is considered under the GFA may be farmed, even though it's not zoned that way, that is still part of the paper redevelopment. I believe you said that your changes have addressed that, so we'll skip that.
If you have a brief
Thank
synopsis.
You.
Sure. Concurrency redevelopment sites, I thought I was going to get 5 minutes, so I've had two so far. Redevelopment sites must have existing adequate infrastructure, roads particularly. The reform amendment still allows a break in infrastructure improvements for redevelopment plans where the developer will not be putting new strains on the system. The RETA amendment effectively waives traffic study requirements and infrastructure improvement requirements. The RETA amendment misleadingly states DelDOT can ask for a TIS when in fact the memorandum of agreement between DelDOT and Newcastle County, the MOU, does not subject redevelopment plans to TIS review. Therefore, DelDOT will never ask for a TIS for redevelopment of this requirement is illusory. The comparison chart the Department of Land Use prepared states this is the same as concurrent law, which is similarly flawed. And I just see just one point to bring forward. The reform amendment prohibits redevelopment of agricultural lands to protect community character for the ones that are not in keeping with surrounding neighborhoods. I believe that is which has been addressed and changed. And the only other question that I saw that was that he didn't write down that was brought forward is in the rule that's brought forward by council in sending a substitute back for consideration of a recommendation. Currently, your ordinance has a negative recommendation.
No.
It doesn't.
Land use recommended in favor of a recommendation.
From the planning board.
From, they recommended not to recommend, didn't they?
Right.
Yeah.
So
your ordinance actually will have a negative recommendation when it gets here, but. Yeah.
Right.
But ours doesn't. Well, they recommended not to recommend, and land use recommended in favor.
Correct. And Councilman Weiner's actually followed the same course. As it was discussed today by the planning board. But the initial recommendation prior to the substitute was a not to recommend the recommendation.
Right.
So if it went back before the planning board and the positive changes were done, then would the recommendation change? I guess that's more of a question than a mistake.
Oh, review. They'd have an opportunity to review it additionally.
But they wouldn't change the recommendation.
Not necessarily.
So they could. So if something were to be sent back subject to council rule, a recommendation not to recommend could be changed to a positive recommendation.
Mm-hmm. Councilor Kelsen, could they change a recommendation they've already issued? Or
It would be a recommendation of a substitute.
Since it's not half the D for Carol Dooling Council for Council, I don't know that I could answer that.
Additional questions from members of councils?
I just comment that after sitting through their business meeting today, I don't see the recommendation changes unless it's changed to the world of Dick Singer. And this isn't there yet.
Any questions on what we just gave? Because I am on the public comment now. Okay. All right.
I'm happy to see that revisions reflect a lot of public concerns that have been resolved in a quick amount of time. Not sure why the rush is on when the planning board is deliberating all these things too. I would say that Mr. Cordier brought up that there's some suspicions, and he's kept it that way, but the as far as what redevelopment, what parcels are now considered redevelopment, the map that was put onto the comprehensive plan labeling parcels as eligible for redevelopment was not exactly transparent in how that happened. Ergo, Barley Mill Plaza and others ended up on it. Just to say that. So that would be part of what people were wondering about, as well as what you mentioned with the unbuilt PFA. As far as this idea of there being a sliding scale, Mr. Culver thought that he incorporated a sliding scale into his original ordinance, but he actually only did it as far as elements of character. There's things that you get the percentages on. DelDOT had more of an idea of a sliding scale for the entire giveaway, the entire set of giveaways. And I think that's kind of where the planning board may be going, as far as maybe embracing some unbuilt GFA, if a sliding scale could be used, because I know that the public really wants to see these dilapidated parcels fixed. We really want to see brown fields given plenty of giveaways and plenty of incentives. But we don't necessarily want to see that same amount for others. So the planning board is embracing an idea of some kind of a sliding scale using very discrete and strict definitions. And so getting into standards that are, something that we can all rely on and say, this is how we direct this. And as far as the TIS, it looks to me as if you are now embracing that major projects, whether they're redeveloped or not, must have a TIS. And so that seems to take out, that's very agreeable as far as the public is concerned, as far as I'm concerned. Maybe you could consider continuing to table the vote on this ordinance until the planning board has released its deliberations of today, so that you guys can have a chance to read that. So it may put it off another month. The planning board did have a chance to take a look at your ordinance, and that was, so I think that would probably be part of what your rules process wanted, is that they were given a chance to look at it, but it's a little bit much to say that they have to be here today to answer to that when they actually incorporated into their deliberations and whatnot. So, I don't know what the hurry is, but I would say that considering that it is a substantive change, maybe not diabolical, but certainly substantive, that maybe a little bit more time is granted to get everybody on board, including our planning board deliberations, and say, just maybe do a little bit more time. Because like I said, they're actually embracing something in a lot better direction that would probably be better as far as sliding scale for projects that are heavily desirable to be fixed as relative to projects that are just kind of seen as being maybe being taken advantage of the public of these incentives.
The only comments I'll make on behalf of myself and chairman is we'll certainly move forward in the direction we need to move forward in legally. And where that's at is guided by our council to council and the county attorney, who is champion with having to defend us in any issues that would arise. The one major urgency I do see with this is If anybody sees any concerns in the changes that we're making or in the bullet points that we've put out, we'd certainly like to hear that at this point, that they don't feel that, you know, that addressed the public's concerns or the issues that were out there, because what everybody understands the process that you know, the applicants, the developers have to enter into, and once they submit their plans into the county, they're governed by whatever's in place at that time. So what we feel is, and what we've heard here is in the comments, is that we've really kind of put our arms around what we've presented here today, and this really presents the major concerns that the community and the boards have shared with us, and what we'd like to do is try to get this in place and get these protections there, and nothing is precluded from us, you know, considering more legislation later. So, you know, perhaps if the planning board comes up with something, you know, pretty substantial they want to send forward and make the recommendations, we just enter it into a new ordinance and bring that forward, but in all along we would have these safeguards and provisions in place. So we'll consider that. Is that in regards to this, yes. President Kovac, because I am in public comment?
Yes, yes. It's in regard to actually Ms. Willings and your comments. I guess it was the question as to what's the rush, and is there any particular project that's in the pipeline that would that we need to change this for to attract that project or something that's going on? Is that anything that's pushing this? You know, pushing this forward in a, you know, in a severe rush at this point? Is there any current projects that would fall under this revised redevelopment ordinance?
Council President, I didn't bring my crystal ball in today. I don't know what somebody could walk into land use with tomorrow or not. I don't know. So
the answer is no, that it's not being crafted for any particular project, or that there's no project that's knocking on the door that needs this tomorrow. Or needs us to rush through this before we heard the planning board. And you mentioned reviewing the bullet points. The bullet points are very nice, but they're not part of the legislation. And the...
Sure they are.
The bullet points that you just passed out?
Yes, they are. Yeah.
That's what's in the legislation.
That's what's in the legislation.
They're not included with the legislation. They're not put into county code.
Not the bullet points.
Exactly. So we put out bullet points, which
should tell you what the legislation says.
That's great, but those bullet points aren't binding. And what the planning board would do is review the ordinance and make sure that those concerns that are addressed on that bullet point are indeed addressed, you know, through that process. And that's, again, the reason for requiring the planning board's view in the first place, is to make sure that the legislation does what we are intending it to do. And I think all the bullet points are very admirable. I think, again, I don't say this disingenuously. I commend you and the other sponsor, Councilman Retta, for addressing these points. I would like, you know, since the planning board pointing out these deficiencies, I would like to hear the planning board say these deficiencies have been corrected. And the bullet points sound nice, but they're not part included with the legislation, so they're not binding. So if we say, oops, we meant to limit paper redevelopment, but after review by the planning board, it really didn't do that, the bullet points that you passed out mean nothing. So they're very nice, but that's why we're looking for a recommendation.
I've got two people ahead of me, so I'll let them come in. If they don't address that, I will. Go ahead, Councilman Redden and Councilwoman Dillon.
Thank you. Council President, the bullet points are in the legislation. What they're doing, they're taking out part of what's in the legislation just to highlight it. That's all it's doing. You don't really have to put that in there because it's already in there. It's just depicting to the public and to the people that can't understand the legislation what's in there. That's all it means.
Councilwoman Dillon.
Question for Council to Council Dillon. Are you confident that what are in these bullet points are also in the legislation as our legal counsel?
Carol Dolan, counsel to counsel. I did not read the bullet or prepare or read them, so I can't answer that question yet.
Okay. You want to direct it to the counsel, to the county attorney?
Sure.
Dave and I worked together to kind of take out the bullet points to kind of make this user friendly. We specifically took out the reference to whether a approved unbilled, whether you would get credit for that, I can't imagine that the planning board could look at that and come to any different result. So in a joint effort, we came up with these bullet points and feel that they accurately reflect within the legislation.
So what you've done basically is created cliff notes to the legislation to say, here's right. what the legislation says, you know. Right. Okay, thank you. Yes.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, members of council. Larry Tarabicos. I just want to speak briefly. I did speak a couple weeks ago at the planning board on another ordinance, which is not to be discussed today, but because I feel very strongly, I did not want the county, either the planning board or the council, to lose sight of how tremendous the redevelopment ordinance has been. It's been around for a while, but to take Councilman Cartier's lead, I think the best way, and what I tried to do at the planning board hearing, was to talk about, because a picture paints a thousand words, and I want to make sure that we understand how important this ordinance is. Yes, Christiana Mall, projects I have worked on, aside from the one that's in front of Councilman Cartier's home, but the Christiana Mall would not have happened. The redevelopment that occurred there would not have happened but for the redevelopment ordinance. The Hokesson Athletic Club, for those of you who are familiar with what was on that property before it was redeveloped, it was criminal activities and chaotic. That would not have happened but for the redevelopment ordinance. The Walmart on Boxwood Road, that was a horrible rundown site in your district. A lot of these are in your district. But, the Bank of America on 202, Tim's Liquors out in Hokesson, the Happy Harry's Walgreens out at Hokesson, the old Southwood Farms property. There are about 12 redevelopment projects that I've been involved with, and as Council Member Tackett said, no one's ever complained about any of them. And it's very important that we not gut that ordinance. And so this ordinance, I will tell you that the stricter level of service requirements may curtail some redevelopment. Just prepare for that. It may curtail even some of the ones I just mentioned. But I think it's important that you take that step now, and if we find that it's too onerous, you can take a step backwards. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with doing that. I think it's a smart move. But I'm letting you know that it may be a little strong. But it's important that we preserve the ability to do those types of projects. They're critically important. And that's why I feel strongly about the ordinance. The paper redevelopment issue has never been an issue for me, because I've never had a project that is one. And as I pointed out on dozens of occasions, because certain people don't seem to hear me, the one project I got involved with, I got involved only if they would take it out from being a redevelopment project. So, and I guess the only comment I'll make is on the substitute legislation, having to go back to planning board, I certainly hope Mr. President isn't right, because all of the substitutes to the workforce housing legislation, for example, all of the substitute amendments to the UDC text amendments that we've had, level of service standards, numerous amendments that were substitutes and were worked here and then went to council for a vote, would have been unlawful then. And we've been doing, things have been getting done that way by this council for years. So I he may be right, but I hope he's not. Because, I mean, that's just, and I think council to council stated it best when she said the rules are procedural rules for the council, but they're not law as right. to how you change things. So thank you for your
law wouldn't have been broken. Okay, thank you. Okay. Additional?
Lisa Snyder. I have a couple of comments for council, and I do believe that a lot of hard work was done on the substitute, and I do commend members of council and the lawyers for working so hard on this. It's got some great points in it. One of my big issues with redevelopment and this whole process is that it does not allow for public comment. There's nowhere in the redevelopment process that allows for public comment. So when there's statements made about Christiana Mall and how it's a success, and the Hokesson issue where the Powell Center is, you know, that was a nice little ice cream store there. So I don't see where that was run down. But my point is that with Christiana Mall, there was never any public comment. It was just done with redevelopment. And I have a major issue with that whole redevelopment process, because just like the other project we heard before, all that redevelopment was done and in place, before the infrastructure was set up and to handle it. They shut down Route 1 in this past week, or last 3 weeks. They have shut down Route 1 four times, okay, for fatal car accidents, four times in the last 3 weeks. And what that does is it totally shuts down Route 1, pushes all the traffic on 273 down Main Street in Christiana. So the infrastructure was never put in place at Christiana Mall before the redevelopment process was in place. All those stores were built, and the area cannot handle the traffic. So that's my biggest concern. This does not address it. This does not allow public comment for redevelopment, because if it did, we would have been there to say, you've got to fix the traffic problem before you can add more stores. Thank you.
Councilman Renner.
Yes, thank you. Ms. Snyder, what you're referring to of the new projects going on down there right now on Route 1 and Route 7 down by Christiana Mall, that was supposed to be done about 15 years ago or so ago. It didn't have anything to do with what's going on right now down there with that redevelopment. It had to do before the mall was even put in, and they never did it. The state never did it. They were lax behind on that, and it didn't have anything to do with the mall. It was proposed when that mall was first built to do it the way it is now.
And I understand that.
So it doesn't have anything to do with the redevelopment. It has to do with the state.
But the redevelopment should never have gone forward until DelDOT got that problem fixed.
Chicken or the egg?
I'll take the chicken.
Non-residential area.
Just I want to make one comment from Ms. Snyder. Ms. Snyder, just procedurally on the plans, redevelopment did come in as a minor, which means it's under 50,000 square feet. It's treated just like a regular plan. It's not redevelopment. There's no difference there. As far as if it's under 50, it's considered a minor, and you're correct about, you know, the hearings, although it comes here. If it came in over 50,000 square foot like a regular plan, it would be considered a major, and that would be triggered at that point. Redevelopment does not take that out. It's saying there's major requirements in our code, and there's minor requirements in our code, and redevelopment is following that path by saying if it's under 50. So what they did is they could take down whatever the old building was and add the 50 up to 50 and still consider it a redevelopment. If they went over, it now triggers that major requirement. So
but it still does not allow for public comment.
But they could have done it under the regular process and not used redevelopment and added under 50, and you wouldn't have got that either, is what I'm trying to explain to you.
May I make a clarification?
This is an important point. I just want to make
it safe
for
name
Larry Tarabikos again. This is a perfect example. So just so we're clear, there was no new square footage added at Christiana Mall. Right. It was an abandoned Strawbridges, an abandoned Lord & Taylor, and you tore down other space, and you built new mall. So all of the traffic, it was already there from the existing anchors and the existing stores. And that's a perfect example of why you need the ordinance, because the question then would be, if you have abandoned stores that already put traffic on the road, so you're not creating new traffic. But if you have abandoned stores and you want a redevelopment to take it away from being a run-down shopping center that's overcome by gangs, do you have to wait for DelDOT to fix the roads to redo existing stores, not even to add square footage? Now, I would say that if you want to add to create what they've created at Christiana Mall, you should be able to do that, and you create incentives to do that. But in this case, you aren't talking about adding square footage, and that's the point. You're taking existing square footage that was already generating traffic. It hadn't been for a couple years because the buildings were vacant, but it used to. It used to generate more traffic than what you have there now. So I just want to be clear with council, that's the beauty of the ordinance, is that it doesn't say, what it says is if you're going to tear down existing square footage that already has an impact on the infrastructure, you can redevelop that without being brought up to all of the new standards, because you're not building on green land, you're not building on open space. And that I have to keep that in mind. I just wanted to clarify that. We weren't doing something new there. It's redevelopment. That's the point.
My name is Peggy Schultz. I'm representing the League of Women Voters. I sent you last week, all members of council, a statement that the Board of Directors of the League of Women Voters of New Castle County had approved. So I'm not going to reread it. I assume that you read my eloquent email. But I will just say for the public record that the League of Women Voters supports the least restrictive of the two ordinances, that one proposed by Councilman, the substitute ordinance proposed by Councilman Redd and Peck.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Paul Morrell with the Committee 100. We supported the original Ordinance 11020. We still support the substitute. Well, I will echo something of what Larry said, that there is some nervousness about the more precise you get on level of service, there is concern that you might start to lose some projects. And going back to what Councilman Cartier said, this has been an overwhelmingly successful program. And in fact, it's been the only development that's taken place in Newcastle County over the last 5 years has been because of this ordinance. And potentially it'll be even more important in the future as we work on some of our older corridors. If we don't want to push development out into the countryside, you've got to have an effective redevelopment ordinance that offers appropriate incentives to the developed community to make those investments. We understand the tightrope or the needle you're trying to thread with this ordinance. And we applaud you for your success in doing that, but we hope that you'll strongly support redevelopment going into the future. Two small comments. One on variances. In our initial comments on this ordinance, we raised the question that there might be a circumstance where there was a good redevelopment project, but that might require a very minor variance. I think you may have heard one this evening, as a matter of fact, that might have been disqualified under this ordinance. So we urge you to at least look at the possibility of giving the department some discretion on that front. But we generally agree with the principle that this is supposed to be a streamlined process. You don't go into it and then ask for a slew of variances, but there might be some concern there. Secondly, glad to hear the discussion about paper development, redevelopment. We don't know if it's a big issue or not, but it could be. And we do certainly subscribe to the principle that if you can bring an old code plan closer to the current code, then that's a good thing. That's good planning. And if you find another place in the code to deal with it and call it something else, you won't call it redevelopment, call it whatever you will, we still think that's a good idea. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You got another statement you're going to read?
Final comment. I'll take.
No,
I
need to go over here because he's not spoken yet.
Bill Dunn, Civic Lake, and MLCA. Before the Crips and the Bloods get together, Christiane Mall, like Mr. Tarabico has referred, so I'd like to call him. I do believe that Mr. Redd and Mr. Tackett would be commended on the revisions that they made. I think the Land Use Department accordingly should be chastised for the original version, their participation in its development. I believe by the removal of what everybody refers to as paper redevelopment, that is a substantive change. And it would have a dramatic impact on how the planning board would view the overall ordinance proposed. That being the case, even though it's debatable whether you have any legal or rules obligation to go back to planning board or not, adequate consideration would be shown short of a mandate to go back to the planning board and ask their interpretation of how things are now. All things, I would prefer to see a TIS required and no consideration for any TOA, but that's a little broad for what's being considered at this point. More or less, it's a step in the right direction. I would be very much interested in a review by the planning board, if at all possible.
Additional questions?
Bill Franey, president of MLCA. At the risk of being repetitive, I also offer kudos to everybody who helped to work on the substitute ordinance. I think it is an improvement. I think it's moving in the right direction. My biggest hang-up has been, since I'm a member of WMAPCO, studying the traffic patterns, transportation needs. I do like to see ways of collecting the data and presenting it to people who have to understand this. At the last council meeting I brought out, I thought that you, as council, need to be presented with all the facts as best as possible, as appropriately costed as possible. Small efforts, large, make large efforts. The point being is that I think ATS in some form, along with TOA type of understanding, should be appropriately used in these analysis of these approval process. What I don't know is whether it requires a conversation that needs to happen with DLDOT to create a better process for getting the information. There's been a lot of discussion that says TIS information itself doesn't help you to make that decision, but it does point out or justify why you would make traffic or transportation improvements. But I think for you, you need TIS as information to understand what are the recommendations that come out of that process. Possibly some TOA aspects or whatever needs to be called maybe helps with the charrettes or the understanding of scenario situations that happen with this development and its impact. I think DLDOT could also be utilized if we can come to the table, maybe do some work with DLDOT to be able to say, how can we more realistically anticipate the impact of intersections that this development is going to, the scope of study basically. And I know there's been some talk that says, well, maybe it's three intersections, maybe signalized intersections. But maybe there needs to be a better way just to nail down exactly how you determine the scope of study and be able to relate that back to you when it comes to voting time, that's all been done. All the due diligence has been done. Okay. So I think a TIS needs to be a factor in these developments if it's small or a decision process for the scope of study for TIS. That's fine. At least you've done that due diligence. Should not avoid it, and I'm glad to see that at least it's referred to in here. However, if there is an impact that is going to require transportation improvements, I certainly would not be in favor of that being pushed back to the taxpayers to go fix. If there's a process to say, okay, development will contribute towards that improvement, then my only question is when will it occur? Because the development will cause the additional traffic, and then someday the improvement will be made. Okay. The last point, I guess, would be there still seems to be some confusion whether the redevelopment ordinance and the MOU with DLDOT ends up causing a circular discussion whether the TIS will actually be implemented with the redevelopment. So I don't know if that's a question to council.
I believe at this point, the memorandum of understanding stands unless, somebody would refer back. I don't know if, did Council President Kovac question that?
No.
Or was that, no? Okay.
Just other things.
Mr. Chairman,
the reason I'm bringing this up is when we go ask DLDOT questions about the county's MOU, it's really, that's their, what they say is that's what they're using as their guideline. So if it says that it won't be applicable TIS for development, then they're not going to come and ask for TIS.
Right.
I think TIS information appropriately done is probably valuable to you having the analysis done, since you don't actually get involved in that type of work. You just want to know what the facts are by making your decision. So it's the question to me whether that's really been fully resolved, and if that is language in the MOU or language in the UDC redevelopment that needs to be clarified, that so everybody understands what the TIS is going to be called for or not.
Yeah. And I'll just comment, we did spell that out in the levels of service at the intersections. And also, to be clear, Newcastle County is not the keepers of the traffic. As we all know, it's DLDOT. And we are forbidden to create any laws that circumvent or fall under what the requirements are of DLDOT. So basically what you see in our code mirrors what DLDOT already says. So we have to have it set in our code so we know what to follow. We can go above and beyond, but we can't go under. So I'm sure you know where we're at and what standards are set, or actually what DLDOT has. There's a new Secretary of Transportation. I'm not sure if these will be issues that he'll be looking to take on, look at. You are correct. You certainly don't want things going on that place taxpayers on the hook for improvements that needlessly should be so. There's a certain amount of road improvements that are going to be happening anyhow with you being on Will Mapco. You know that you're a a federally mandated, you know, basically board to make the recommendations into DLDOT, and we get a lot of dollars from the feds, you know, in order to make a lot of those improvements. So that all needs to be incorporated into the whole matrix. So. So hopefully, you know, you see our provisions where we moved on that. And I'll just add briefly, and I don't want to go into it too heavily, because it's not it is inadvertently related to this ordinance, but kind of backdoor. But, you know, when DLDOT basically comes in and says no TIS is required, or no TIS is required, it's only because the area has already been studied and they know what the TIS is going to say. They're not relieving it from that responsibility. So DLDOT has all those computer programs. They have the matrix. They're multi-million dollar department. We have two people in transportation. So, Additional questions, and we can wrap this up. Additional questions? Lou, if you're okay, let me take this gentleman, because he hasn't spoken yet, and you have. Just out of courtesy.
A quick comment, Chairman Greta. I don't rise in opposition to the substitute, and it's commendable.
Just need your name.
Mike McDermott. I'm not Christina's Historical Society, and I'm the Canterbury Hill Civic Association. I think the substitute moves the ball forward considerably based on the recommendation. I think the goal line and the cheers, and getting the ball over the goal line, the cheers will come with further public input from the planning board and from citizens, because I think that's what will inspire the additional public confidence and the additional business confidence in not only the amendment to the redevelopment process, but also in the redevelopment process going forward for many years to come. I do have some concern hearing today that council and perhaps this committee and later council believes that there may be no legal effect that comes from not conforming or complying or honoring its own rules. State law, Title IX, Section 1150, does mandate that council shall determine its own rules. So to act not in conformity with those own rules does have some legal effect. Whether it's unlawful, whether it's illegal, whether it's inequitable, those arguments may happen. But it's pretty clear from council's own rules that the clerk, after introduction of a UDC text amendment, shall refer that ordinance, that legislation, to the applicable board or commission. And the rules also require that a substitute that substantively changes an ordinance subject to recommendations shall be referred back. The plain language is there. I implore council to follow that procedure so that it can inspire public confidence in the process, not just for amendment to the redevelopment code, to the UDC code regarding redevelopment, but also will inspire confidence in redevelopment going forward and all decisions that are made with respect to it. Thank you.
Mike, just quickly, I'll share with you. You can rest assured this body will not do anything illegal, you know, or unlawful. I mean, you know, we have attorneys here that are guiding us on that, and we absolutely will proceed, and absolutely not knowing, you know. And just a quick question. Your comments were, you don't have any issues with the ordinance that you see that did not address any of the concerns that you've heard. If you're in that area down there, you probably attended the meetings. So do you see anything in this ordinance that you don't think, you know, addressed any of that, or you have concerns, or anything in our bullet points? It's only the procedural and being...
Well, I haven't. I mean, I think it's a matter also of airing it out a little bit more publicly. I mean, these are the first time I've seen the bullet points. And so to match them up against the amendments, against the other proposed amendments, against the comments from land use, the planning board recommendations, the land use recommendations, that's what takes some time, and it takes some time to digest. You know, I know you guys have been working on this for a year, and it's really important legislation, and the process is what's important, and that's why I'm focused on process, because I'm not an expert on redevelopment, and never will be. But the public needs to know that there's been adequate time to digest all of this information and make make sure that we have absolutely the best language reconciled with other proposals, and that there's been, you know, and that there's been a recommendation. Looking briefly at the points, and having attended the planning board meetings on a number of these amendments, I would expect that these would be pretty well received by the planning board. And I would encourage council to make sure that the planning board does indeed give it a thumbs up. I think you'll be over the goal line.
Mike, I just encourage you to understand we're not voting on this today. You have a whole nother week that you could digest and analyze this. So, not saying what the outcome is going to be next Tuesday, but just perceiving the fact that if we do move forward, please use that opportunity to concentrate, hopefully, on this ordinance, the bullet points, what you see and what's there, you know, and we'll deal with what we need to deal with legally. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Yes.
Councilman Tackett, you have changed my mind. I would like to say publicly, because I was very outspoken and opposing, O20, I'd like to say now that you've won me over. I agree with you. This needs to go forward as soon as possible because applications are coming in every day under redevelopment laws. And I think anything that the planning board can put together will also amend this if necessary. So, thank you.
Good. Thank you. Oh. Okay. All right. No, we got
quickly. I don't plan on making an end run here, but I'd like to score a touchdown for redevelopment. Just to provide some additional information that I was wasn't able to produce to you today, I'm going to place Councilman Weiner's comments in your mailboxes for your review. And keeping in mind that there is another ordinance coming forward that we're not going to discuss. But I believe it was the recommendation of the planning board, which you will be reading, and their hopes because of the inconsistencies in both, that both would be utilized to make the improvements necessary to improve the process. So if you would consider slowing down the process to be able to review what's going to be coming forward, I ask you to do so. And if you need any information or questions, you can call Bob.
Thank you. All right. You leaving? Are you? Oh, okay. No, well, you can, but we got another. anybody have anything under other? Seeing none? Any public? Other? Other for council. Public comment?
Yes.
Public comment.
I just want to say, all this discussion about the redevelopment or something very important happened today, and you should mark the date and remember it. Bill Dunn spoke in favor of a development project.
Councilman Smiley.
The day's not over yet.
See, no, yes.
Bill Franey, MLCA. I would like, I know it's not easy to do, but Councilman Smiley has suggested in the time frame given here from the planning board that if the council did get access to the recording, it might help to determine what the planning board was talking about today in reviews.
I mentioned it was coming. According to their schedule, it would be here within 6 days. It should be here prior to council going, our next council meeting.
Sufficient
under
time.
The guidelines, it's supposed to be here. Well, sufficient time, depending on which council member you talk to. I'll tell you, we read what we need to read. There's an absent council member who tell you we don't read anything and don't understand anything. So it depends on who you talk to. Of course, there's a chance this plane will go down.
The point, I think, was that if that is an option for someone to listen to it ahead of time and get a feel for what was said now, that may be an advantage. And I don't know if that makes it any easier for people like to read.
I'm particularly interested in reading about his work on the moon, Mars, and there was another planet that came up today as well.
Pluto.
Okay, let's move for our motion.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All right, all in favor.
Aye.
All right,
let's go. Nay. Hello, Miss George.
You're the only one now. You're the only one, boy. Where's the chamber? Where's the
internet?
I put calls in the chamber. I'll be playing on this one.